Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
Good morning. When we think of freedom, we often use that line, freedom isn't free. And while I know we are honoring our service people who have kept us free, Jesus also paid a very big price for us to be free. And so I like to add them both. So I think of the freedom Jesus bought. I think of the freedom that the men and women that have served our country. So add it to that. It'll kind of make it a richer holiday and be pretty special. Well, welcome to the Vineyard. We're glad you've joined us here at Urbana. Those of you watching in Sullivan and Bloomington Normal, we're glad to have you on board. Vineyard Live, log in and keep up with us, all right? Some of you may even watch this in the future and enjoy it. But as they said earlier, we're in a series entitled Grateful. And it's really just to help us become a grateful people, to really get in the flow of understanding how good we have it. Some people have gone on to say that gratefulness is the number one way we show our love to the Father. Grateful for what we have, grateful for what He's done, grateful for what we can give. It's just gratefulness, everything. It's thankfulness. It's gratitude flowing out of us. I loved what we shared in the first message. We're thankful for in all things, not for all things. That's an important distinction because I can't tell you how many Christians actually struggle with thankfulness for a couple of reasons. Some of them struggle because they're not sure God's good all the time. Some struggle because they're not quite sure where karma fits in. What we did bad turned out something came bad from it, or what we did good, something turned good. They get that mixed up. And there's just a lot of confusion out there. So I thought I would dig in and look a little deeper into being thankful in all things, not for all things. I want to start with a story about my dad. And growing up, obviously, I've spent many years with this guy, but I've never met a person in my entire life more thankful, more peaceful, and calmer than my dad. And, you know, I would say he had plenty of reasons to be fretful and complaining and anxious. He was a farmer. They live by the weather. They live by things they can't really control all the time. But he never wavered from a life of thanksgiving. Just over and over, he was a thankful guy. I'd see farmers panic, get afraid, prices went down, it didn't rain or something, they'd be upset. Not my dad. And I tell you, life wasn't always easy. We were tenant farmers, sharecroppers. We didn't have very much. We always had enough to eat because we raised our own meat and our own vegetables, all that stuff. But we didn't have much else. I can remember I had three sets of clothes, one for work, one for school, and one for church, and they were all hand-me-downs. I was the third of four brothers, and a new piece of clothing was amazing in those days. We happened to live on a farmstead that had two homes on it, a big home, really big home, that the landlady lived in, and a really tiny home that my four brothers, three brothers and I, the four of us, and our parents lived. And so it was interesting. This landlady was a very demanding woman. She was tough to live with. Farming was a very dusty operation in those days. If the wind was blowing toward her house, we couldn't do whatever we needed to do until the wind changed direction. And it was aggravating. If you live on a farm, you would know the trouble that might have caused. My mom said, "Let's get out of here. This is awful." My dad said, "No, we're going to stay. The Lord said stay. He's providing. He's going to take care of us." This guy had no specific theological training, but he had a phrase he just repeated over and over. I had two phrases. First one was, "It's a blessing." And the second one, "Aren't we thankful for what we have?" I thought, wow, we didn't have very much. I thought, what's he talking about? But we did have an intact family, which, you know, and in the light of the bigger picture, we had some really neat things. But how did he live with such gratitude and confidence? He had developed somewhere, somehow, a relationship with the Father in heaven that was rock solid. He just knew that God would come through. He lived by what we will call today covenant and not karma. Karma is this attitude that will get you in trouble, as we'll describe in a moment. But he lived in a word I will also introduce today called shalom. Many of you know that word, and we'll define that in just a moment. But it was peace, calmness, thankfulness, and joy. He just had it wherever he went. So what I want to illustrate, talking about my dad, is he had faith in a covenant versus faith in karma. I've entitled today's message, Karma or Covenant? Which one do you live by? Now, I know most of you would deny you live by karma, but what is karma? Karma is the belief that your life is a result of the good or bad you've done, right? You have a good day, you expect good things to happen. People say, well, I have good karma today. You do bad things in a day, and bad things happen, and you say, oh, my karma's bad. Okay, my dad didn't live by any of that stuff. He understood he had a relationship. But I know most Christians hate to think they live by karma, but I see lots of it happening over and over. People start thinking what you've done is more important than what the Savior's done. Karma's always self-focused. You know, you start thinking, well, I was raised in a broken family. I can't expect much. You think of the karma of your bad. You think what you did in the past will affect your future. You forget what Jesus has done. And so I know it's not hard to get into this kind of a situation. The old covenant gives a little bit of feel toward this. If you were to look in the old covenant, like Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you do these things, there's 14 verses of blessings. If you do these things, there's about 50 verses of curses. And you read it, it'll fry your mind. You don't want to go there. By the way, let me give you a little piece of advice to help you understand the Bible. The Bible is Old Testament and New Testament. About two-thirds of it is Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, there's something called the Old Covenant. It's not the same thing. Okay? So when I talk about Old Covenant, I'll explain exactly what I mean. But talking about karma, I remember when I was in college, I wasn't walking with the Lord. I was walking on completely the wrong side of the tracks. I believed that everything that bad happened in my life was a result of my bad behavior during most of the time. Later, I began to realize who the Lord was, and it changed my view. But most of us have a little bit of karma in our approach, and I want to get rid of that. I want you to understand you're a covenant person, and you walk in a relationship with a real God. And so we're going to look at this amazing new covenant today. I think it will help you in this issue of why thankfulness is an obvious outflow. When you understand the covenant, you'll say, oh, now I know why I can praise and thank the Lord all the time. It's that good. It'll change your world. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, you have done so much for us. You've given us a brand new covenant that we can live in, we can walk in, we can enjoy you. You are the source. You're the center of it. We're simply the recipients. Lord, I know we don't live by karma, but help us to know the difference. Help us to know how to trust you, walk in your fullness, and walk in a way that brings glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. Okay, I said we do not live by the standards of karma. Karma, of course, being rewards and punishments according to our behavior. And again, the Old Testament, you see that from time to time. The Israelites, if they lived badly, they got captured by a foreign nation. They lived as slaves. They started living right. They got a new king. They got free, and things went well. So there's a little bit of an understanding where it comes from, but karma is always me-centered. It's always about you. The Bible and relationship with Jesus is always about him. Keep that in mind. Years ago, I heard Oral Roberts. I'd just barely been filled with the Spirit. This is maybe almost 40 years ago. Very filled with the Spirit. And he said something that changed my world. He said, we have a good God and a bad devil. And I thought, oh, that's simple. I actually thought God was half good and half bad. I didn't know if he was in a good mood or not. But if you remember that, that'll help you when you look at the Bible. So God actually wants us to live in the new covenant. And the new covenant could be characterized by one really wonderful word, and that's the word shalom. Now, we don't use shalom much. It's used 40 times in the Old Testament, and it means peace beyond peace. It means healing. It means abundance. It means well-being, safety, rest, security, You're just safe in every area. Isn't that a good word? It's delicious, in fact. You can taste it. And the Hebrew people used it all the time. In fact, we might meet somebody and say, have a good day. They would say, shalom. Have all of these things. It's all what God wanted for us. And you sit there and think, wow, that's the foundation that we get to live under is shalom? Well, I've signed me up for that. That sounds like a good idea. I've been waiting too long to get to that kind of a life. And so let's see how we ended up being a people that are greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved. And we have a father that's just in love with us. You know, like some of you parents, I've seen all the stuff you do for your kids. How much more do you think our Father in heaven wants to do for his kids? He's crazy about us, in a good sense. I mean, God's not crazy. Please forgive me for even thinking that. But I've seen us as parents, we go way overboard for our kids. What do you think God would do? Go way overboard. Well, if you went back to the beginning of the Bible, you'll find God created the Garden of Eden to be a place of shalom. Peace, quiet, abundance, everything good. Adam and Eve blow it. They trade gods. Everything becomes anti-shalom. All right? It becomes a place of, as it says, Satan stealing, killing, destroying. Everything is bad. Instead of health, there's sickness. Instead of abundance, there's poverty. Instead of good relationships, there's bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. So all of that stuff happens. Well, our Father's never at a loss for something, so he begins to work with humanity. In fact, he's always worked with us through covenants. The Bible's full of covenants. Some people estimate there are 40 or more covenants in the Bible, but a few of the big ones had a covenant with Adam and Eve. I'm giving you a good place. Let's be friends. Don't eat of that tree. Well, you know how that one turned out. Then he finds a guy named Noah. Hey, this world's a mess. Build me a boat. I'll save you and your family, and I'll take care of you. That's a covenant. He finds a guy named Abraham. He says, hey, Abe, I'm going to make a deal with you. Look up at the stars. You're going to have that many descendants. Oh, and by the way, one of your descendants is going to be the Messiah or the Savior of the world. That's where we get a Messiah from, through the line of Abraham. He finds a young boy named David. He says, go kill that Goliath. And then he says, I'm going to make you king. He makes him king. He says to David, here's a covenant. Someday there'll be a king come from you that will reign forever. That's how we get a king or Lord, as Lord and Messiah, Savior. So you see where they both come from. People are in Egypt. The Israelites are in Egypt. He finds a guy named Moses, and he says, Moses, I want to make a new covenant. I'm going to relate to the people differently. Here's what I want to give you. And so he gives him the Mosaic Law. We call what he received the Old Covenant. Not the Old Testament. He received the Old Covenant. Okay. So, and that is an interesting covenant. In fact, it's really unique. I think most of you would pass a test on the Old Covenant quicker than the New Covenant. If I asked you what the Old Covenant is, you'd say, well, it's the Ten Commandments. They had to do these special feast days and celebrations, and they had a whole bunch of sacrifices. And there are a bunch of other little rules and regulations, and there was a temple, tabernacle, all that stuff. I say, now I want you to write about the new covenant. And most believers would struggle to write what the new covenant is about. They say, well, it's grace and faith, but I don't know really what else it is. It has something to do with sin. We're forgiven. No, we need to know what the new covenant is because we live by the new covenant. So where did the new covenant come from? Well, after Israel had escaped from Egypt, they had their own kingdom, and things were all kind of messed up. A prophet arises named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah 31. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. There's that word, new covenant. Pay attention to that in the Bible. With the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors. This covenant will put my instructions deep within them. I will write them on their hearts. I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Wow, a new day has been promised, and it's going to deal with the issue of sin. Sin is, remember, what destroyed shalom in the first place. So if we can take care of the sin issue, then we can go back and live in shalom. God's always been about not renewal, not revival, not even reformation. He's been about restoring his original design and then taking us well beyond that. So he wants to get us back to it. It goes on, the other prophets started to pick up things. Isaiah picks up a powerful line in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. It's a foundation verse of people that believe that God is moving in the Spirit. It says this, "Surely he has borne our griefs, he's carried our sorrows," speaking of Jesus, "yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, our sins, and upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his words we are healed." So Isaiah, 400 or 500 years, maybe 600 years before Christ goes to the cross, he sees it. He writes it down by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it foreshadows shalom coming back. It talks about healing, but healing here is a big word that has to do with wellness and wholeness, and it has to do with healing of our spirits, healing of our bodies, healing of our mind, our emotions, our relationships, our finances, ultimately life from death, changing us from death into the eternal state. And it's amazing. Did you notice that verse also talks about the chastisement of our peace? That would be shalom. So in other words, right there in that great verse, he's talking about shalom. Jesus, in fact, we sing about all the neat things, you know, counselor, wonderful, Prince of Peace. What do you think that word really is? Prince of Shalom. He's bringing it back. That's how we're to live, how we're to walk. In fact, Jesus comes, he reveals the Father is good. Remember, we're not living by karma, we're living by a good Father. Thankfulness ought to be starting to well up in you right now, like, wow, things are changing. You know, he came to show that God was working to restore the original relationship. Heaven is coming, heaven's invading earth, if you will. Don't you pray that in the Lord's Prayer, "Lord, let your will in heaven be done on earth, let your will on earth be done as it is in heaven." I better get my words right here. It's a lot harder talking about it than thinking about it in your head, you know. So, having said that, a new covenant is about to be launched. But when and where and how did the new covenant come into being? Now, the other half of the Old Testament, Old Covenant story, we have the last third of your Bibles called the New Testament. But in it is a new covenant, and they're not the same. People just sort of interchange those words, and it can get you in a little bit of trouble. The new covenant actually starts at the cross. When Jesus said it's finished, he's basically announcing the end of the old covenant. Now, it lingers on for a little while after that, but he's basically saying we're in a new era. It's a brand new day. Things are changing. It's going to be really, really good. I'll actually read that verse when we take communion as a group here in a little bit. But let's talk about the new covenant. How good is this new covenant, and why are we so thankful for it? Look what the writer of Hebrews says in verse 8:13. When God speaks of the new covenant, it means he made the first one, or the old covenant, obsolete. Old covenant being the Mosaic law, the rules and laws that Moses was given, it's now out of date and will soon disappear. Now, I think you know what obsolete is in a natural sense. I think most of you probably have an old cell phone you don't use anymore. Why? Because you have a lot better one. An old computer you don't use anymore. You would basically say it's obsolete. And I'd say, why are you using a new one? Well, it's a lot better. Faster, quicker, does more. It's smaller. Everything is better. So the other one's obsolete, and many of you have even thrown it away. Yet the Bible says the old covenant is obsolete, and we keep wanting to go back to it. Be careful. You can get in trouble. We don't live by a combination of the old covenant and the new covenant. What's that verse say? The old one is obsolete. It actually goes on, it'll soon disappear or be thrown away. That's something for you to ponder for the week. Let me know what you come up with. Should be real interesting. And then, is it better or worse? Well, look what it says in verse 6. Now, Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that's far superior to the old priesthood. He replaced the Levitical priesthood, and he starts a new priesthood, a line of unto himself. He is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand it's better. In fact, the whole book is about why Jesus, and the new book of Hebrews is really about why Jesus is better than Moses and the old covenant. And they're not putting Moses down. They're just saying Moses was good. He did his job. But something better has come, named Jesus Christ, and we live in a better covenant. Read the last, read those first 14 verses of Deuteronomy, and you'll say, wow, it's better than this? Yes. It's better than you can imagine. You know that phrase I came up with a few years ago? When we start seeing Jesus as bigger, better, and more beautiful than we ever dreamed, your thankfulness will rise. Your gratitude will be, you won't have anything else to say. You will be stunned. You'll be saying, my goodness, thanks. You know, that's on the top end. I must have learned this from, I'm just thankful all the time. You know, Di and I are babysitting right now, three grandkids. We're just thankful they sleep all night. I'm thankful I can go upstairs at 70. I'm thankful I can take a walk for an hour a day. I'm thankful for Jesus Christ. See, I'm thankful for the whole range. Everything I do, I live, I move, and have my being in Christ. He's my all. It's all about him. You know, his karma is all about me, but this is all about him. I'm a product of him. So again, this is so unique. Jesus takes time to mention it in the Gospel of Matthew 13, and Peter mentions it in 1 Peter chapter 1, that the people of old longed to see our day. They looked forward to it, but they never saw it. And it says angels are waiting to see it unfold. I get this picture all the time, and I have no idea what heaven looks like. I've never been there, but I kind of think the angels are going, wow, those people got it made. Wish I was one of them, got to experience this shalom, this wonderful new thing God's creating on planet Earth, and the challenges and the changes. Unfortunately, many of us keep dragging parts of the old covenant in, and then we quickly drag karma in, and we're not living new covenant. And so I just want to challenge you, find out what the new covenant's about. This, part of the job of the pastors is to help you understand the new covenant. And when you understand the new covenant, then to live it out. That requires that we have to study and be at least a step ahead of you so we can show you the way. Your job is to keep chasing after us and say, teach me more. Don't let me get lazy. I don't want to live in that old covenant. I don't want to live in karma. I want to live in the new covenant. It sounds really good. Let the shalom come to me. Help me. That's why we're a family. We work together. I learn from you. You learn from me. And it's flowing. So if we are going to live this way, we have this great news. How do we live? Well, we start by faith. You ever notice that the Bible says the righteous live by faith? And faith is always what you can't see. So we always want to get our hands on it, feel it. No, we live by faith in the great promises of who God is, what he said. Do you know the Israelites, Hebrews says the Israelites failed to enter God's rest, but we would have, if we'd have translated it to strictly Hebrew people, would have said they failed to enter his shalom. Why? Anybody know why they didn't do it? They didn't believe that God was as good as he said he was. Now that'll make your blood tingle. How many of you struggle to believe God's as good as he says he is? It can't be that good. It's just way better than it's supposed to be. No, it's not. We need to have faith in what he said versus trust in ourselves and think karma is more important than covenant. And we can be thankful that covenant is top, front and center. See, God has given us a new covenant, one that is based in grace and faith versus the law and works. Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Just wake up every day and say, Lord, I am so glad I live in the new covenant. Now show me how to live in it. It sounds really good, Lord. I just want to live in this thing you have created. I can't believe how good it is. Help my unbelief. Is that good? Lord, you did that. You healed me. You took away all my sins. You took away all my diseases, you provided everything I need. You said you'd be with me forever. You'll never leave me, even on my bad days. We have an amazing, amazing relationship that God's wanting to have. And he described how it fits. His relationship with you is can be known. It's known through the new covenant. So good, so good. You know, all those sacrifices of the Old Testament, we don't have to give them anymore, but we have one sacrifice left to give, the sacrifice of praise, as it says in Hebrews, which is really, thank you, Father, that you've given me life. Thank you that you've given me abundance. Thank you that you've given me healing. Thank you that you're my God. Thank you that I'm your friend. I can give you 100 things in 2 minutes to thank God for, and if you run out, we can just look up some more. He's amazing. Let me go back to the story of my dad for a moment. He spent many years living in thankfulness and gratitude. It was really a joy to watch. I've gotten older. I've appreciated it much more. Went on for 26 years. That landlady had fired, or every tenant had quit in 2 years, every one before that. And my dad made it 26 years by saying one simple thing, you know, it's a blessing. And he just kept trusting the Lord, thanking the Lord for what he had. One day, that lady in her 80s got a strange ailment, went to the hospital, and 48 hours passed away. She gave the farm to my dad. It's like, wow. Talk about a wonderful blessing. My dad, he was thankful, but no more or less thankful than he was the day before. And the gift was worth about $2 million. He just was thankful. He said, well, the Lord provides. The Lord provides. Thank you, Lord. And I just thought, wow, how do you live that way? And little by little, I'm learning after all these years. And being a pastor, I'm going to figure it out before I go to be with the Lord. So gratitude, the new covenant clearly brought us the shalom, the abundance, the peace, the joy. Our eyes are to be fixed on Jesus. He never promises immediate results, but he promises he'll give us a wonderful, wonderful life if we trust him. I want to end this message today in a different way, and I want Sullivan and Bloomington Normal stay with us. We're going to take communion together, and I want to make a few comments before we get into it. Communion in some faiths is called Eucharist. And Eucharist is simply a word from other language meaning thanksgiving. And in Eucharist is the word charis, and charis means grace. So what are we thanking for? Thanking for the wonderful grace of the new covenant. The fact that we get to live in it, that we get to enjoy the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, Spirit living in it. How good does it get? It's beyond amazing as we give thanks for the grace, for the new covenant, for living. I want to read a passage out of Matthew 26. Before I do that, if you did not get the communion cup when you walked in, raise your hand and these friendly folks will give you one. We'll need that here in a moment. In Matthew 26, Jesus, at what we call the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, says this statement. It's actually the night before he's crucified. He says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, there he is giving thanks, broke it, gave it to the disciples, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Then he took the cup, again he gave thanks. You can't thank God enough. It's just part of life. He gave it to them saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. New covenant, forgiveness of sins, a new life. See, the new covenant did away with all the rules. Jesus said there's only one thing you have to do. That's to love everybody else as he has loved us. Love one another as I've loved you. That's a pretty big challenge. I mean, just coming out of the political debates, you have half the people that you're struggling to love. And the Lord says, love them. Let's take it a little further. You have other countries that you don't like. There are terrorists out there you don't like. He didn't say, love them if they behave. He said, love them. Amen. And so we're to be a people filled with the new covenant grace, goodness, love. And it doesn't mean we agree with everything others do, but we love them. Why? Because the light of the world is in us. And when that light gets to them, it begins to change them. So I just want to be thankful, grateful for a new covenant, that we get to live in it, walk in it, understand. I'd like us all to stand. And we're, rather than me praying, we're going to pray together Psalm 103, the first 5 verses. And a couple of things I want you to notice as we go through this. This was David, King David, in his prophetic hat on now. He sees the future and he understands what's coming. He doesn't get to see it, but in the flesh, but he sees it in the spirit. He's telling us what's coming. I promise you, if you will go over this a few times, do it once a week for the next, or the rest of your life, but at least for the next month or two, do it once a week. It'll show you about your sins are forgiven, you're healed, your strength is renewed. This is an amazing passage. Di and I do this a lot. This is one of our favorite things. We have this one all marked up. It is just delightful. Here's a promise. If you're not feeling well right now, when we read this, it talks about healing. Some of you are going to get healed. Be alert, be receiving, and ask God for it. So let's read this together. It'll come up on the screen, and we'll just read it together as our prayer of over the communion. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all our sins, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies us with good, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. How good is that? That's exactly what I've been talking about, and David said it in five verses, so we could have done his five verses and gone home. All right? I know, I need a job, so I had to talk a little longer than that. You would have been upset if I had just done that. But again, I want you to go ahead now and open the elements and just receive. Again, those of you asking for healing or you're asking for issues in your life, just receive them. God wants to give them to you. He is committed to helping you live in shalom. May you receive the elements with faith. Just a couple of comments. As an action item, I want you to grab some elements on the way out. Grab an element for yourself, for your spouse, grab one. Take communion. If you're single, take it by yourself or grab a friend. Read Psalm 103 this week and take communion. If we run out of elements, I heard we're running low. Pete really took me up at my word. I got one guy in the church, one family, Chris and Wayne Tace. They have communion every day. And they do it with their coffee and an almond. You know, the elements aren't the issue. Jesus is the issue. You're doing it to remind yourself of what he did for us at the cross. He gave his body, he gave his blood, that we could live in a new covenant. We could experience shalom, and we could have a great time. Gratitude, thankfulness, just an attitude of, wow, how good is this? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the new covenant. Help us to live within it. Help us to experience daily the great victory that Jesus won and opening a new and living way called the new covenant for each of us. Lord, thank you for these friends and family gathered with me. Lord, we all want to live this way. We all want to see amazing things happen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.